Hello, humans, and welcome to another episode of Exposing Isolation. My name is Rebecca Elizabeth Weber, and today is June 26th, 2023. I have a lot on my heart right now. It's been a while since I published a podcast. I recorded a few, but didn't feel like putting them out into the world, but this one feels a bit more monumentous, like something that I would like to record in the minutes, if you will. And part of what is going on for me right now is that yesterday I spent the better part of the day with two women that I went to high school with. One of them, Amanda, I've probably talked about her on this before, but she is one of my closest friends and I also work for her promo company. So we talk all the time, both just keeping up with each other. She's also a Spoonie, and also we were working. And the other friend, we were not close in high school. I definitely knew who she was. I thought she was really cool. She dated a guy that I liked. But it was interesting when we started talking about high school and Thomas asked them like what I was like in high school. And they basically said that I was the most powerful person at school and that everyone knew who I was. Also that I was kind of scary, intense, and operated under my own set of rules. For example, they brought up that when I walked through the halls, people parted, like, and I remember that, but I kind of wondered if I had made it up or seen it in a movie, but they were like, no, we saw you, like you walked down the middle of the hallway and people got out of your way. So that was a bit validating in connecting my memories with like a verified source, I guess. They said that I was bossy, but not mean, though I did hang out with really mean people. And I validated that. I think that the people that I hung out with were pretty mean and very ambitious and catty. And I also tried to stay on their good side. Still trying to really unpack why I was with that group of people. I think it was because I liked a boy. Not the boy that my friend dated. So it's, you know, some of it all comes down to liking boys in the end. Definitely more going on than that. But I thought that was a kind of a funny through line. So yeah, bossy, but not mean. That I was in charge of everything and made things happen. That I had an impenetrable wall up and like these friends were very surprised of what was, when I shared some of what was actually going on with me during that time, like what was happening to me at home, which I've talked a lot about at the show, on the show, and just why I was trying so hard. So I, during my teen years, earlier than that too, but especially high school, which is when these two women knew me, when I was 14, I started developing a very serious anxiety disorder, as well as eating disorder. And I was advised that the best way to overcome these limits, basically, was to push myself to do things that made me uncomfortable so that one day, like, it wouldn't hurt so much anymore. And for me, and I also shared this with them, like it always hurt and it hurt really bad. And I had crippling stomach aches and I didn't eat and I was scared all the time and nervous and had nightmares. And like, I was really struggling all the time, but I didn't know that I was struggling more than some other people. Like, not to say that other people weren't also struggling, but I am hypersensitive and neurodivergent, and I didn't know anything about that back then. I didn't even know what those things were. I have an anxiety disorder. It's a bit hard to say if I have developed my nervous system disorder and like my mental or like my brain damage after my body shut down in my 20s, or if that stuff was already happening in my teen years. I don't think there's any way to know. But as a continued thought, like all of that has happened and happened at some point. And in both of my homes. So my parents were divorced well before this. They got divorced when I was 5. So at one house, I was with my mom and stepdad, and the other house, I was with my dad, helping raise my nephew. And so very different worlds, like at mom and Bruce's house, stepdad Bruce. I was a kid and I was being very raised, I guess, like you can't wear your hair like that, or, you know, whatever, like just very trying to protect me, but having no idea what I'm feeling or what's going on. And then at my dad's house, I was like a part-time parentified, spousified, kind of helping take care of the house. And also during when I was 15, 16, I was also nursing my dad through interferon treatment, which is a type of chemo. He got blood poisoning, and there was like a whole 2-year treatment for that. And he did it to himself. He did the treatment at home on Fridays, and I would be there for most of that to make sure that he didn't stop breathing, and also to take care of my nephew. And then at mom and Bruce's house, there was some just some stuff with alcohol and some violence, and everything's okay now, but I did make them split up when I was 16 because I really wanted to graduate from high school and get on track for college, and I just felt like that bullshit was really gonna get in my way. So I was very powerful back then, and I was focused on getting to a better place in my life, but I was also really struggling, and nobody knew. I didn't even really know. I didn't know that what I was going through was disordered. I genuinely thought that everybody struggled with being alive as much as I did, and that everybody else was coping better than me, was handling their pain better than I was. It really wasn't until I was 26, somewhere in there, that somebody said, no, it hurts you more, like you're in more pain than more people. And that was around the same time that somebody let me know that I had PTSD. So it's been a big journey, most of which is logged and talked about on the show, but I kind of wanted to reiterate for myself to kind of like hear it said, because I'm in a different place now. I'm around different people. I've set up good boundaries. I'm strong. I'm able. I don't need to protect myself as much as I used to. I'm not around. Like, I don't talk to my dad anymore. I don't talk to my dad or anybody over there anymore. And that's complicated, because it also means I don't talk to my nephew anymore. I don't really talk to anybody on my paternal side of my family, at least for now. I just knew and still feel that I'm not okay quite yet. Today I feel stronger than I've ever felt. That does not mean I need to go back to the people who hurt me. It just means that I'm receiving insights. I also just did a journeying circle with Quinrin Mountain, my teacher, and we did a class and a journey to some different sounds, rattle, singing bowl, drumming, on the theme of cleansing and protecting. And so all of this really just felt like it was coming together to teach me where I'm at right now. I cried a lot. I think I've only cried in journeying once before. I've been journeying off and on for a couple of years now. So I've done it several dozen times, and this was probably the most powerful journey I've ever done. At least that's how it feels. I've definitely had some journeys where I got really strong messages and met allies, and those were also really powerful, but this one felt like something like very special and unique. And I was working with my protectors, allies. I don't know if I've done a whole episode talking about kind of what I call like my council or advisors, protectors, my spirituality, basically. Maybe I'll do that later, but just know that they exist, and I have them. And some of the messages they gave me today are let the wall down. Like they said, like, you don't need to protect yourself so much anymore. There's really not a whole lot for you to protect yourself from. To kind of balance it out, they said, I can handle it, which I've definitely had a narrative that I couldn't handle things. I needed nothing bad to ever happen because I could not handle it. And that's what that wall was. I have lived through just about every type of abuse, but not sexual abuse. And I'm sorry if this is triggering. I'm not going to go into details about like what happened and what didn't happen, but something that I know that I was viciously protecting myself from was any sort of sexual misconduct. People in my family have suffered from that inhumanity. I just felt like I would just break in half if anything even remotely close to that ever happened to me. That's just how I felt. That was my projection. Maybe it was true, maybe it wasn't, but I felt that way. And that's a huge part of this like 6-foot wall of cement and like spiky moat, alligators, sentinels, guards, bazookas that I had was like, no, do not touch me. Do not come near me. Do not know me. I don't want any form. I don't want this. And there were exceptions. I love a good cuddle, but I know that I was still really stiff and worried and nervous. And I'm still trying to work on that. Like I'm still scared. I'm still nervous to be vulnerable. I'm still nervous to be intimate. I have been with my husband now for over 10 years, and I still have a hard time letting down that wall and being comfortable in my own body. But today I was shared with by my counsel, by my advisors, by my spirit guides, that I'm a lot stronger and better equipped to handle whatever life throws my way than I give myself credit for, that I do handle things well and I am okay. And there's still a lot to work on, but I'm actually really great at taking care of myself no matter what. And that is learned, and that is a confidence I'm still trying to embody. I have really good intuition. I am learning, have learned, continue to learn. When somebody doesn't feel right and I don't like what's going on, and able to not get too deep, too heavy, too fast, so I can walk away without having to cut too many strings, which totally happened recently. I can feel, I feel like this is a third era. So for the younger part of my life, like up until I was 24 and my body shut down, I was really powerful. I was very in charge. Like I already said about like how I was in high school, that continued through college until a year and a bit after I graduated. I was running Middle Women, which if you've listened to any of these episodes, you know that I started an organization that launched the body positivity movement. We were some of the first people to ever produce unphotoshopped photography and posting it on social media. This was Tumblr. There was no Instagram or Twitter yet. This was in 2012. I was working off the work of Jean Kilborn, basically around what happens to our society and our psychology, our mental states when we never see real people in media. And how that results in things like disordered eating and self-harm and things like that. So I was doing that work. And I worked and I was hard and I tried and I performed and I was valuable and I tried to give and give and give and give and create opportunities for other people and find a place for myself where I would be valued and thus allowed to be around. That's kind of what I was taught, that I needed to be strong. I needed to push myself. I needed to be giving. I needed to ask for nothing. Keep a lot of secrets, you know, being raised in, now I know, a narcissist environment. It was all about appearances, not to let anybody in, not to show any vulnerability. And that really fluffed me up. That was really hard to maintain as a person, especially as a person of high needs, as a person with a depth of love and sensitivity that I have. I did not put myself in good situations to ever be calm, to ever feel safe. My body shut down for the first time when I was 20. I had absolutely zero skills to know how to rest, how to recover from that. I just kept going within my limits, though at the time I did have vertigo and a lot, and I was sleeping like 16 hours a day. So, but I was working, I was an RA, and I was a full-time student. Just a lot going on. I think without even giving all of the examples, like my tone and what I'm explaining in these, like this list, I hope illustrates what it was like. It was just going and serving and councils and just being and going and growing and just trying to be the best person in the whole world. And then I shut down. So I went through this era of like fierce, like dragon, like I am amazing, I can do anything, on the outside, and feeling like rubbish in the inside and not taking good care of myself. And then in 2015, my body shut down a second time, and that time I did not bounce back, and I have slowly crawled out of that hole. It's been 8.5 years. I am doing much better. I have learned a lot. Subsequently, my illness and us moving had impact on Thomas, and he couldn't get his medication he needed anymore because of where we were living and that we invented the diet. And there's just been this huge growth that now I'm looking back and saying, yeah, I am kind of able to handle things that I didn't think I could handle. Like, it has been really hard to be alive for 32 and a half years, and I'm still here, and I'm actually doing better than I thought that I was ever going to do. And now I want to transition into this third era. So the second era, being exhausted, still trying to fight, but not being able to do really any of the things that I had been doing before. I honestly really wanted to be pitied and taken care of, and I wanted somebody else to have answers, and that never happened. And now I'm moving into this, what I feel like a third era, where maybe there's a balance, where I don't need to be pitiful and I don't need to be the most powerful person in existence. And I can honor that I love very strongly. I really do love people in measured amounts. I don't really like big groups, but I do really love meeting new people and spending time with people. So honoring my introverted and extroverted needs, that I have a lot to teach at this point, and it would really benefit a lot from doing so, that I have the tools to thrive, and this one's really hard. Like, I feel like I'm ready to matter to some people again. And I've been I've been meeting new people, and there is a new couple in Thomas and I's life that we've been enjoying spending time with, and they're kind of showing me this other way of connecting and relating and being myself around them, and it just feels kind of like a fresh start. And then, of course, connecting with these people who have known me for 17 years. So there's just all these like balanced, dualistic experiences going on where I'm getting to reflect a lot. And I'm excited. I'm excited to see what happens next, who I'm going to be in this more balanced era, and what's possible with strong self-care and being able to filter, but not having that impenetrable wall up anymore. My friend Amanda's mom kind of adopted me yesterday too. So that was also part of some of the emotions in my journey of realizing that I have another mom figure, like an adult who I can also go to ask like advice about adulting things like money and stuff like that, which as much as I love my family and have developed such a wonderful relationship with them, I don't really feel like they always can help me with some of those bigger financial adulting kind of questions. And it seems like Mrs. Wright can. So we'll see about that. But yeah, there's just a lot of really positive people and experiences and balance with, you know, chosen family, friends, the members of my biological family that I still allow in my life, more growth inside with my marriage, at home, away. There's just a lot going on, and I do want to make sure that I am still doing everything that I need every day to feel okay and be healthy enough to be able to go hang out with people again. I do feel like a bit off, but stronger than I thought that I would. Yeah, thank you so much for listening to this episode. It was a lot today, but I don't really know what episode ever isn't a lot. And I feel really good getting to speak all of this. And I hope you're well, whoever is listening. And I will catch you on the next one. Best wishes.